Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. Join me like he does each week as the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. We are coming to you from the site of the national championship game, Frisco, Texas, 7 p.m. kickoff on ESPN. And Mr. Labanowitz, I'm going to give you your due again. It seems like it was a week or so ago we did the preseason show, but you expected Montana State to be here. You put it out there. You said it repeatedly. You thought they were the best team in the FCS, and they were going to get here to Frisco to prove it. And boy, howdy, they're here. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. But they're here, and that's pretty good prognostication by you, sir.
Yeah, and on top of all of that, they've exceeded my expectations that I set in week zero. Obviously, it leads with Tommy, but what this team's been able to do up front and how it's kind of been able to overshadow all of the Dakota front sevens, I think this is what's been just cool to see. They have an FBS win, and now they are the only one. This is a real stat. I saw this earlier this week, and I want to get it out there publicly. They're the only undefeated team left in all of college football. And I think they have a point to prove and want to put a stamp on things.
When I'm looking at previewing this football game, the thing that sticks out to me the most is Montana State just has this overwhelming ability to run the football, and nobody's been able to stop them. It's like something that I've never seen before in college football. They're going to run the ball for 250 yards, and there's not really a whole lot you can do about it. And you'll look back at the end of the game and say, hey, we really controlled that Montana State running game. But yeah, they had 285 yards, 300 yards against you. And I don't know what you do defensively if you're North Dakota State to try to slow that down, because it's not just Tommy Mellott and the QB power anymore. They have a stable of backs, Adam Jones, Scott Trey Humphrey, who they can just line up, hand the ball off. And to hear some people describe this Montana State offense as kind of a triple option type of look, it's impossible to describe exactly what this is. I mean, it's got a looks from the wing tee. It's got looks from, I mean, offenses that would make Tubby Raymond proud. And Tommy's development as a passer. If you're North Dakota State and you say, well, we want to try to take the run away from you, we're going to make Tommy Mellott beat us throwing the ball, guess what? He can do that now. That is not a recipe for victory. I don't know what you do if you're the North Dakota State defense, other than pray and hope that they'll turn it over a couple of times, because I don't like this matchup for the Buys, and I'll be quite plain to you. This is not a good matchup for North Dakota State. Montana State has not been a good matchup for anybody all season.
Try that one on for size. As far as perspective goes, you're talking about North Dakota State team in Frisco, Texas, looking for X, Y, and Z, just added to the trophy case, national championship, and you don't like the matchup, and they're outgunned. It's something that nobody's used to hearing, and we're not used to saying, but this Montana State team, especially offensively, I agree with you, is an enigma. I'm not quite sure how you approach them, how you game plan these guys. You talked about Humphrey, you talked about Jones, two 1,000-yard backs, and Tommy Mellott is going to finish this season, I think, with over 1,000 yards. It sits at 915 right now. I think he goes and gets 85-90-plus on these guys. There's just really nothing you can do to stop them as far as running the ball, and mind you, this is a game where their opponent is North Dakota State, so I think that is exactly where I'm looking as well. If they're able to will their way up and down the field in this first half, it's going to be a long day for North Dakota State, and they're going to beat them at their own game, and it's going to be a sight for everybody from the Dakotas, and you're going to start to wonder if the tides are turning with everything that's happening with South Dakota State, with Cam Miller going to be on his way out, Aiden Bowman on his way back. Is that the team we're looking at? I think those are some takeaways that I'll be paying attention to during and after the game.
And if you're NDSU offensively, your best game plan is to try to keep North Dakota State off the field by doing what? Running the football, which is something you've been ineffective at lately if the runner isn't Cam Miller. So if you're North Dakota State, this is a ball game where it's going to be Cam Miller's last ball game as a Bison. I think you run him as much as you can. It's your chance to stay in the ball game and perhaps win it. Cam Miller's going to have to run the ball for over 100 yards. He's going to have to take broken plays and make big plays out of them. This matchup is not, I don't want to keep harping on it, it's not a good matchup for North Dakota State, because it's odd that we're talking about this. North Dakota State can't line up run the football. They cannot line up in that diamond formation and push people around when they know it's coming anymore. And that's just an odd thing to say, because they were the bullies of this subdivision for a decade or more. They would tell you, we're going to run the ball. They could. They could tell you even what side they were going to run the ball to, and it didn't matter, because they would whip you at the line of scrimmage and out-execute you, and it didn't matter. And they just don't have that group up front this year, even though we have another Sunday football player on that offensive line in Gray Zabel. It's going to be a draft pick, but Montana State has morphed into a better version of North Dakota State than North Dakota State is right now.
I almost want to stop talking about the front seven and both of these rushing offense and rushing defenses here, because something that sticks out to me, Kevin, I want to bring to your attention, this total sits at 57.5, and we're talking about two teams who run the ball at will with whoever they want. They have a plethora of guys who can do so. Are we looking in the wrong place? Is this going to be a game where, I mean, mind you, these guys have 30 touchdowns through the air each. Cam Ellis hits 31, Tommy Mellott right behind him at 29. And I hope that's surprising for a lot of fans out there who are paying attention, who think Cam Miller has been just head and shoulders the best quarterback in all of the subdivision. Tommy twice the amount of rushing yards and two less touchdowns. I think this is a game based off of the total, and you have a Montana State team averaging 43 points on the year and North Dakota State right up under that number at 37. I'm interested to see if this game goes over the total. I think this is a game actually where Cam and Tommy Mellott take flight with the ball. Weather's going to be good. They both are happy to get out of the cold. Are we looking in the wrong direction, or is everybody looking in the wrong direction?
Well, these defenses have one thing in common, Stone. They'll both give up a couple of big pass plays. We saw that even in the Mercer game with North Dakota State. Their one touchdown was a long pass play where a guy was wide open. You're going to have some guys running free for Montana State down the field. Tommy's got to get them the ball. And the same deal for Montana State. We sat on the sideline of the UT Martin game, and they gave up a big play for a touchdown to UT Martin, who that was not really their game. So I'm extremely intrigued to see who's going to make those plays down the field, because they're going to be there. I don't know. Maybe we're in for a shootout here. Maybe this will be a 38-31 type game, but I don't think that type of game is good for North Dakota State, but that might be a game they have a shot to win. A 27-13 ball game, I don't think that favors them. They need to get this game into the weeds. They need to take them down into the deep, deep waters, and they need this game to be somewhere in the high 20s, low 30s, I think, to have a good opportunity to win.
Couldn't agree more. I do fear, though, that Polisak, Cam Miller, and this North Dakota State team in general is passive, is in general just is trying to beat Montana State at that Missouri Valley style of football, and I don't think they can do it. They will easily lose a game 27-13, easily lose a game 27-10 at that. That can happen. So I think Cam Miller and them are going to have to pull something out of their bag and not be so stubborn here. I love it. I'm right on with you.
Well, here's a pretty easy question, Stone. As far as these head coaches in this environment playing for a national championship, who do you trust more? For me, it's Brent Vegan. He's been here before as a head coach. And I like Brent Vegan a lot. You're going to hear from him later on in the program, plus quarterback Tommy Mellott. These guys are not blown away by the big stage here for the national championship. Neither is North Dakota State. They're both kind of old hand at this thing. But in a need to make a decision to change the game, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I'll take Brent Vegan to make that decision.
I think for me, it's actually Tim Polisak. I think with some of the quotes that he had dropped pregame with South Dakota State and how that team came out of the gates, this team wants it, and this team does feel like their identity is in the shadows and hiding in an alley right now. And I think when you look back to 2021, last time these teams met here, they both are aware of what's at stake, but I just think as far as the droughts go and who needs it more, obviously everybody looks to Montana State, but this is a game that I think if you're North Dakota State and you don't win, there are a lot of questions that follow. Maybe made up by just people who live in North and South Dakota. Nonetheless, those conversations will start to happen with everything that we talked about earlier that's happening in the Dakota. So for me, it's Polisak just because I think there's more at stake and kind of the weight of the program is on his shoulders, and I don't think that's the case for Vegan.
And I disagree there, because if you're Brent Vegan and you're a Montana State fan and you have a generational player like Tommy Mellott and you get to the national championship twice and don't win one, that would hurt. Don't go anywhere, FCS Nation. Coming up, we'll hear from Brent Vegan, Tommy Mellott, also Tim Polisak, and Cam Miller. I know you'll want to hang out for all that. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Coming up right now, you'll hear from Montana State head coach Brent Vegan from his press conference earlier in the week.
You know, I think this team has continued to live in the moment, and you know, it's great to be in this current moment with this group. We won that game a couple Saturdays ago, met that Sunday morning, allowed the guys to go home, spend some time with their families over the Christmas holiday, which I think was very meaningful for them. Brought them back here on the 26th, and we've been at it since then. So excited about the work we've been able to put in the last few days, and you know, excited about that opportunity. I know the opponent in front of us. We know for sure. You know, having played them last year and then back in 21. Down in Frisco, have a lot of respect for that program. It's beyond you know, the obvious, I suppose, with my situation, having spent so much time there and then having faced them. But really been impressed with this team, their team. You know, Tim's come in there and done a really good job. And they're a team that, you know, is better now than it was back in August. That's apparent. They have, you know, some guys that have had those types of years led by Cam Miller that you need to take a team to these heights. He's done phenomenal things throughout his career, but has certainly had his best year this year in his last year. And, you know, when the moments have been biggest, he's really shined. So, you know, he's going to be a big challenge for us to contain. Then on the defensive side, I know they've continued to do things that, you know, NDSU has traditionally done, led by their front. You know, Moe Start and Heisman, I think, from an interior perspective, is a heck of a tandem, very disruptive. And, you know, I think that front in general and the number of guys they've played has continued to come along. I thought they played really well, and they were probably the difference in that victory over South Dakota State. You know, and I think they've worked through some things, both at linebacker and safety positions with some injuries, departures, those type of things. And they got young guys in some instances playing, and those guys have continued to get better. And you can just see that I think they've continued to find themselves. I know Coach Olson, Grant Olson, first year coordinating, he's done a really good job of continuing to bring that defense along. So, you know, excited for this opportunity. A heck of a lot of respect for NDSU and what they pose is the type of challenge that you're going to get at this time of year. Do want to address the contract extension that was released today. Very excited to continue on here at Montana State. Grateful to President Cruzado and Leon Costello in particular for their continued support. You know, we've, as a family, Molly and I and our boys have really enjoyed our time here. And you know, there's a lot of things that go into the type of opportunity that you desire. And you know, our day-to-day piece has been great here. Our boys continue to grow up here in this community has been great. And, you know, the support that that we feel on a daily basis is what you want. You know, and a lot of credit to these type of opportunities go and should go to our staff and our players. Been fortunate through the 4 years to work with great people. And that's our coaches, that's our support staff, that's everyone involved. And you know, a lot of hard work that goes unnoticed, certainly on all ends by our coaches and our support staff. And then, you know, the most credit goes to our players. You know, we've been really fortunate to work with, you know, talented young men who are about the right things and really desire playing the game the way it should be played and playing for the things it should be played for. And that's a lot of the reason we're in this position.
And now it's Tommy Malott's turn at the podium. Let's hear from the Montana State Bobcat signal caller.
Yeah, I think football is a game that's won up front on both sides. So, you know, they were definitely the dominant team for a long time, and they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and that's how they were able to go on such a good run. You know, and I think Coach Vegan, when he came in, that was definitely a point of emphasis, is that we needed to get better up front. And he slowly but surely built us up and turned us into what we are now. And, you know, now I feel confident that we can match up against anybody up front on offense and defense. And so that should play a huge part in it. Yeah, I think football is a game that's won up front on both sides. So, you know, they were definitely the dominant team for a long time, and they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And that's how they were able to go on such a good run. You know, and I think Coach Vegan, when he came in, that was definitely a point of emphasis, is that we needed to get better up front. And he slowly but surely built us up and turned us into what we are now. And, you know, now I feel confident that we can match up against anybody up front on offense and defense. And so that should play a huge part in it.
You know, Montana State, through your senior, Cam Miller at NDSU for your senior, just describe two programs or quarterback stayed around where, you know, maybe other spots guys have left. I mean, what does that say, I guess, about both programs?
For me, yeah. I mean, I think obviously growing up in Montana, you know, I wanted to always go to Montana State. I wanted to be part of the Cats, wanted to wear the blue and gold. And so there wasn't going to be an option outside of that I would ever consider to leave. And, you know, just a privilege and a blessing to play here with the seniors that I have and also, you know, the guys that have left before me and are obviously going to continue on after me. It's just been a an honor and a privilege to play with those guys. They love this program. They love playing football, and that's why they play here. It's not about money. It's about going out there and playing football, and that's what it should be about.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. We're now very pleased to be joined by Mr. John Thayer. John is the play-by-play voice for the South Dakota Coyotes. John, we have you here this week for our national championship game preview because you're in a pretty unique position. You've seen both of these teams live and in person this year. There aren't a lot of people that can say that.
Yeah, you know, I saw fortunate to see North Dakota State for a half and Montana State for the full game. With some travel issues that we had, but I'm really excited for this game. I think you obviously have the number one and the number two seeds, and other teams obviously wanted to be there, including South Dakota. But I think this matchup is really interesting between Montana State and North Dakota State, and I'm really excited to see how it plays out down in Frisco.
Let's talk about the offenses first, John. They're eerily similar when you look at the passing numbers between Tommy Mellott and Cam Miller, like eerily similar. And yet Montana State has been much more effective running the football with other people than their quarterback. The offensive line, I think, is an advantage for the Bobcats. Maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree, but I think that will be surprising for a lot of people who maybe aren't diehard FCS people like we are, and maybe you're just tuning in for the championship game. They expect NDSU to be NDSU from 2 or 3 years ago running the football, and they're just not.
Well, it certainly changes a little bit. And listen, they've got very capable running backs, and they still have some dudes up front that can deliver the blocks that they need. But Montana State has some really good running backs. I mean, there were, I believe, two teams in the country that had two running backs over 1,000 yards this season. It was Montana State and South Dakota. And what Scott Trey Humphrey, when he's healthy, and Adam Jones bring to that rush attack, in addition to Tommy Mellott's ability to escape and just simply keep plays alive, right? It makes that rushing attack extremely dangerous. And you look at how these teams have played throughout the course of the season. And for Montana State, I think they have one game this year where they have less than 200 yards rushing as a team. And they've got, obviously, multiple 300-yard rushing performances. Now, you look at North Dakota State, on the other hand, and, you know, they've been over 300 a little bit on the season, but they've been under 200 a handful of times. So they've been forced to put the ball in the air a little bit more. And I think that's really the defensive game plan for both of these teams is how do we slow down the rushing attack and make their quarterback beat us by throwing the football. And that's not to take away from these guys, because you got to understand, you know, everybody looks at those rushing numbers and says, wow, can these quarterbacks even throw? Cam Miller's completed more than 70% of his passes, and Tommy Mellott is right around 70%. And they don't turn the ball over, right? Cam Miller has 4 interceptions on the season. Tommy Mellott has 2. So when they do put the ball in the air, they are – very smart with what they're doing, but the sample size feels a lot smaller compared to what these rushing attacks are. So I think, you know, your game plan is to make these quarterbacks have to win the game with their arm. And I believe both of them are very capable in doing so. But you obviously don't want either rushing attack to get going, but you're right that the North Dakota State rushing attack that we saw, you know, even 2 to 3 years ago, is a lot different than what it is today. And they've got good running backs. It's just not the same. They don't have as many guys that are just those power and then breakaway runners. And I don't know if it's the difference in the offensive line or if it's the difference in the running backs. But, you know, they have good running backs. North Dakota State does. The difference is, you know, for years past, you knew the names of all of their running backs who were going to get the ball. And there's probably, like you said, if you're not a diehard FCS person, you probably don't recognize some of these names the way we have in the past.
What did the Yotes do to kind of slow down that Bobcat rushing attack, John? And when I say slow down, it's kind of a relative term. 222 yards, I think, was what Montana State rushed the ball for against the Yotes.
And there was some kind of fluky stuff in there. You know, Mellott dropped the ball, it bounced right up to him, 50-yard touchdown, that type of deal. But it seemed like at times the Yotes gave the Bobcats trouble. Was that just scheme, or was that the dudes that the Yotes had in that front seven?
Yeah, it was both. I mean, USD's been pretty good most of the year with their front seven. And, you know, with the scheme was to try to slow down the run game. And they really did that for the most part. There were a couple of times that Tommy Mellott was able to escape, on a situation and get out to the edge, you know, and gain some yardage. You talk about the one broken play that he drops the snap and it just happens to bounce right to him. He sidesteps two guys, leaps over another, and all of a sudden he's gone for the score, you know. And had that score not happened the way it did, you wonder how that game would have been towards the end of it. But nonetheless, I thought USD was able to slow it down a little bit. Now, I will say I don't think that Scott Trey Humphrey was playing at 100%. You know, he did play in the game, but it seemed like he was very limited on his reps. Now, if he and Adam Jones were both full go in that game, would that rushing attack have been a little bit different? But majority of their rushing yards obviously came from the quarterback position, and that's just his ability to be able to escape some trouble, find a hole, and gain some yards. And when he gets going, he's really tough to slow down.
There is some things on tape about how you kind of take advantage of this Bison defense, and a lot of them were put on tape by Aiden Bauman and your Yotes, that's for sure. But they have a tendency to give up a big play or two in the passing game. I think if you're Montana State, you've got to make those plays to win this game.
Well, I think that's how Montana State gained the edge at home against South Dakota, right? They knew that the Coyotes were going to come out and try to slow down the run. And so they hit Taco Dowler deep down the left side for a big gain and then hit him again for a touchdown. And that's how they started the scoring, you know. So when you open it up like that, you're basically telling the defense, hey, stop the run all you want, but we can throw the football. And so I think both of these teams are going to want to do that. Both quarterbacks are going to want to try to loosen it up, and they both have the weapons. I mean, you look at Ty McCullough or Taco Dowler for Montana State. Bryce Lance is incredible for North Dakota State. You know, he can get out and make big plays. He's just short of 1,000 yards right now on the season. But those players are going to have to step up and find ways to make some big plays, take some pressure off of that run game, and maybe loosen up the defense a little bit so you can get the rushing attack going. And I think Montana State did that really well on their first drive against South Dakota in the semifinals, and it showed their ability to get down the field quickly.
FCS Nation, we're joined by Mr. John Thayer, the play-by-play voice for the South Dakota Coyotes. John, when you're looking at these two teams, which you saw with your own eyes this year and broadcast the games in your own voice, who has the advantage, do you think? Montana State's been here. They expected to be here this season. And North Dakota State, well, if their season doesn't end with them hoisting the trophy down in Frisco, it's an unsuccessful season.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because you look at you talk about the experience factor of being at this stage, right? And obviously everything screams North Dakota State because they have a number of national championships and national championship appearances. They've been there more recently, right? So they understand the whole game magnitude and all of that. They do have a new head coach, and now he's been there, right, as an assistant, but it's still a different situation when you're the head coach in this game. The Montana State team, it's been, 3 years since they've been to the national championship game. A lot of these players haven't been there. Tommy Mellott has, and I think that's a big advantage for Montana State because obviously he led them there when he was a young player, and now he gets the chance to try to solidify his legacy with the national championship. So, I mean, from a player perspective, there's probably more on the North Dakota State team that remembers what it's like and knows how to play in that game. But I think both of these head coaches are tremendous, and I think they're both going to be able to put themselves in a spot to get it done and have their teams ready to go. So an experience thing, I mean, some of that I think it's good, and some of that I think you just throw out the window. You know, some of those guys who haven't been there yet, maybe they get out there and they just play because they just want to play the game. Those experienced guys can take care of all of the stuff that leads up to the game, right? There's a lot of other things, team pictures and media meetings and things like that that lead up, and it's very different. You want it to feel like a normal game, but it's not. It's once you finally kick it off, it is a normal game. but a lot of the lead up is not. You travel earlier than normal and everything like that. So I'm really excited to see how it plays out. I think experience on both sides. I mean, obviously, I think North Dakota State probably has more of it at this particular stage, but Montana State is really good.
What do you think about moving the game to Monday? I like it. Some people don't. Some people do. I like being in the Monday night football time slot.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I mean, it's even a little bit earlier, right? It's 6 o'clock Central Time, so it's a little bit earlier than the typical Monday night football game. I like it in that it doesn't compete with anything else, right? You want this particular game to be on a big network that's not really competing against anything else, and let it play out and see what happens, and hopefully it'll be a big national audience. And I keep saying this, but I'm fired up for this game, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, John, to move away from the title game for just a minute, some things happened in the state of South Dakota this past week, didn't they? It's funny these days how what people think they know about their football program and the team they're going to have for the next season can all just go away in 5 hours, 6 hours time. You're sitting there with the Yotes, and you got to be feeling pretty good about what you got coming back, the continuity. Aiden Bauman's going to be back. Y'all are sitting kind of in that catbird seat, if you will, in your state right now as far as who might be the best football team next season.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Aiden come back for another year. You know, when the season ended at Montana State before the buses left Bobcat Stadium there, you know, I talked to him and his parents and, you know, just kind of said thanks for the year, you know, because this is incredible. I mean, I know that it didn't end with a national championship or trip to Frisco or whatever, but this is the furthest that South Dakota's program has ever gone. And so you just want to thank some of these players for the year. And for some of them, you thank them for their careers, right? Because their careers came to an end at that particular game. And at that point, I didn't know what Aiden was going to do. And so his announcement that came out, what was it, Christmas Eve or maybe the day before, that he was going to come back and play another season, I thought was great. It got our fan base fired up. And, you know, he'll operate with a new offensive coordinator. Josh Davis left to go to Fresno State, but they just promoted a couple of guys within the program who have been around. And Coach Vitzum, who's been with the wide receivers, and Coach Morrison, who's been with the tight ends. And so both those guys are going to have an opportunity to have their hands in the play calling, and that'll be exciting. And obviously, you know, Aiden must have liked what they had presented as far as, you know, what next year could look like for him. And so excited for that because, you know, he brings back talented players at the tight end position, and obviously a couple of wide receivers. They'll try to get some other guys up to speed there. But Charles Pierre still has eligibility left, and you lose Travis Tice, which is huge because he's been around for so long and he's been so good for this program. But you know, even LJ Phillips hanging in there, he's been waiting for his turn. It could be his opportunity to really break out and put his name on the big national scene. You know, each year that you take a program a step further, I think everybody in the entire program starts to understand it more. And now it starts to feel like you belong. You're not just the chaser anymore. You belong in the conversation. And I think that's why this was a huge year for South Dakota.
All right, John, give me a prediction for the national title game. Number one versus number two down in Frisco, Texas, for all the marbles.
Yeah, I hate doing predictions because every time you do a prediction, you know what happens, Kevin, because you do this all the time, right? Whoever you don't predict to win, you're disrespecting the other team, and that's just how fans operate. But I think this is going to be a really, really good football game. I do, but I really like Montana State in this game, not just because South Dakota lost to them in the semifinals, but I think they're a very complete team, and they started to get things figured out defensively against South Dakota a little bit. Now the Coyote defense figured some things out in the second half against that team, but they also had the lead, so Montana State didn't have to press the ball. I like Tommy Ballott a lot. You know, his broken plays he was able to take for gains or touchdowns in the game against South Dakota, and I really like what Montana State has. That I'd never count out North Dakota State and their ability. They'll find a way to keep themselves in that game, and I think it's going to be really, really close. But I think Montana State has one of those you know, generational type of teams that not a lot of teams get to go undefeated, and they've got that opportunity. So I'm excited to see if they can finish it off, and I really like the team that they have this year.
John, I put you out on a limb there, and it was perfectly acceptable for you just to say, You know, I hope both teams have fun, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those go football, right? Let's cheer for football and have fun. But I really do think it's going to be a really good game. I'll be surprised if it gets away one way or the other.
FCS Nation, that's been Mr. John Thayer, the play-by-play voice for the South Dakota Coyotes. Thanks for being here, John.
Yeah, you bet. No problem.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Want to give a shout out to Mr. John Thayer. Appreciate you giving the show some time this week. He, more than you, and I think at times more than us, because he's seen it up close and personal every single matchup that they've had. He's seen both of these squads. So shout out to John for giving some insight here. But coming up now, you're going to hear from the North Dakota State Bison squad. You heard from Vegan. You heard from Tommy Milan. What about the opponent? Coming up first, Coach Tim Polasek. To follow him, Eli Mostart. And the man, the myth, the legend, in his final game wearing the green, the yellow, Mr. Cam Miller. He will cap things off here, and then we'll get into the pick segment. So enjoy what the Bison gang has to say, and a little hint here, Polasek, he's more tame than he was last week.
Our work has been very enthusiastic. I think our kids are showing up not only to practice but to meetings, treatment, nutrition, weight room stuff with the right intent, and looking forward to the preparation the rest of the way. But I'm really encouraged by how we've done our work so far. I think it's really cool for Coach Bull and his tree and the legacy of it, and just watching the Montana State team play. I mean, there's still some of those old defensive keys and characteristics are there, and how they play defense with the four down front. And then offensively, I think it's really cool to see Brent just free up his offensive coordinator to just continue to be aggressive, calling quarterback runs, really dynamic run game, obviously, and all the shot plays that come off of it. But pretty neat. I mean, pretty cool. Brent and Molly are good friends of ours. You know, obviously we purchased their house when we moved to Wyoming, and so there's some history there. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I just love to compete, and I love watching our coaches coach. I love watching the players compete and improve. And being able to step back, and get a 20,000-foot view at practice instead of being right up in there with a position group actually has been real enjoyable, and I hope to continue to improve. And I want to do everything I can so that it doesn't come down to one or two guys, right? It's about three units going out there. But, man, with their kicker, I don't know if you'll have an opportunity to get a kick return. With their punter, I don't know how many opportunities you're going to have in the punt return game. And so maybe that gets negated, right? And then it does come down to which quarterback not only plays really well, but in big moments, in impactful situations, the gold zone, and on third downs, whoever performs the best there and gives their team an opportunity to stay on the field is going to have the best chance to win this game. I can really only speak on Cam and what I've seen of Tommy. I think Cam is practicing really well, and I think he's going to play great. I think on the run-pass conflicts, not RPOs. I didn't, they have some of that stuff, but it's the pause player, maybe the linebackers, the boundary safety, the safeties. I mean, all these guys that we asked to support the run, not only versus running backs and potentially even receivers, you have to come for the quarterback. And so it's the run-pass conflict and the concepts that they deploy in the run game with the complementary play actions. Sometimes it gets to be even a little bit gadget type plays, the pops and the hits. I mean, just the run-pass conflict, they do an unbelievable job. I mean, it all starts with the run game. It all starts with Tommy. I mean, they've rushed for 300 yards per game. Tommy's well over, 3,500 yards total. And so I think what we have to do is try to cultivate as many opportunities to square him up as possible, and tackle and be physical and make him work and grind during the game. But then we have to be very conscientious of these pop plays, these wheels, and all the conflict they kind of create with their quarterback run game. They got two All-Americans. I think we have two All-Americans. We've got a center that's really coming on and playing better and better. I think the same for those guys. I think they have four guys that had honors, with all conference and so forth. And both teams, I mean, that's what I would say. Al Johnson is a friend, and he's doing a heck of a job coaching the O-line there. But the DNA of their program, the things that are important and the things that matter to us, I really believe Brent's doing those things as well at a high level. It's his program now, and you're seeing the development of offensive line. You're seeing the development of D-line, linebackers. So they're obviously practicing very physical like we do, and it's fun to watch. You know, there's good offensive linemen. I'll tell you this, in the semifinals and this game, wow, you know, why are those four teams there? I think the line of scrimmage says a lot about how both teams play in this matchup, and then the two previous, the South Dakota teams play good up front as well. But we've had many, many, many guys that have had to step up this year, and all of a sudden role players are starters. Starters, you know, become superstars, well-known names. I just think it's evidence that if you stick to it at a place and you trust coaching and you show up and you're coachable and you buy into your teammates, that is success. That's a great college experience, and we have a lot of guys that are doing that right now. Hunter's just a really good example, and ironically, he's replacing Jake Rock, whose story isn't that much different. And so that's kind of been the Bison way, as far as I understand it. Next man up mentality, it's what is important for the team. You know, we, us, and our. If you embrace that it's cool to be part of this community and part of the Bison culture and the Bison history, good things are going to happen for you.
I'm really excited to get after it, to be at pretty much 100%. And my final year here at NDSU is going to be really fun to compete at the highest level with my brothers and go down there and have a fun time. Yeah, he's probably one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the nation. He's a great athlete. I've played him twice now, so I kind of know what he's all about, but he's been progressing as a player, and he's been performing really well. He's been getting that team moving this year, and they've been playing really well as a whole squad in general. And, yeah, we've been preparing really well for them this week. And, yeah, we got a week left to get ready, and we're going to be ready. Yeah, they don't throw the ball a whole ton, but everybody knows their fits, knows their roles on the certain calls, certain defense that we're going to be in. And everybody knows who they're going to have on every play. And we're going to go about it like we do every single week. And the D-line's going to take care of the run. And then the linebackers and secondary take care of the quarterback on the given plays. But, yeah, we're going to be ready. They're going to have a really sound running team, really good running backs, great quarterback. So it's going to be a really nice contest for us.
Just the young guys, like the young quarterbacks for both programs, see that two talented quarterbacks decided to stay and didn't go and play, you know, at a different school, I think, means a lot to those guys, being a positive example for them. And I think people across the country will see that two of the top quarterbacks in FCS decided to stay at their program and have been successful, and that you can get whatever you want from the program.
You're
one of the best fan bases in the country. And just to see them traveling down to Frisco every time that we play there. And I know the guys in the locker room really appreciate that. And we understand that there's a lot on the line to get to Frisco, and it's a tough road to get there. And I know it just means a lot to the fans that we get to Frisco every year, and we have the expectation to get there every year. And I know it makes our fans happy, and they enjoy traveling down there.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's time for us to pick the national championship game. But before we do that, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that we have an auction going on right now of some really cool FCS and NFL memorabilia to benefit Alex's Lemonade Stand and the partnership that we have with the main sponsor of this show, Northwestern Mutual. We have some really cool stuff on there. Do you need a ticket to next year's home opener between North Dakota State and the Citadel? If you're a North Dakota State Bison fan, you had better. You're not going to get more than 200 or 300 tickets to that ball game. And I know you all want to go to Charleston. Believe me, I know you do. You better bid on that. We got a Gray Zabel signed helmet, Bison fans. We've got a Aiden Bauman signed helmet. These are not mini helmets. These are helmets. Evan DiMaggio from Furman. Signed jersey, signed helmet. Javonte Graves Billups from the Citadel, signed jersey, signed helmet, and so much more, all benefiting I was his lemonade stand, and it's our goal in partnership with Northwestern Mutual to end childhood cancer in our time, and with your help, we'll get there. All right, Stone, national championship game, 7 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff, live from Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. The number one seed Montana State Bobcats versus the number two seed North Dakota State Bison. We previewed the game in segment one a little bit, and after we've done that, I've thought about it some more and kind of what I said about a low-scoring ball game, and I just really don't know what to expect. You would think with the two best teams, we'd kind of know what we're going to see, right? But I'm not sure that that's really the case right here. I don't know. The weather's supposed to be good. It won't be a factor. It's a night game. You're going to have all day to get hyped up to play this thing. And I think that we might see a few young men out there a little too hyped up. And I think we might see some big plays in the early going. I don't think they'll be tight. Neither of these two teams have played 1 second of tight football all season. They're too much of a veteran group to do that.
I'm conflicted here because I've already talked about this total sitting at 57.5, and of course it points in the direction of this being a high-scoring affair. I feel the complete opposite. I mean, you look at this North Dakota State team, they're letting up 17 a game. You look at this Montana State team, they're letting up 10. That's what these teams know how to do. That's what's normal to them. And I think if you're Montana State, nothing changes. The only thing that changes for four quarters is that you have a team who wants to run the ball consistently from start to finish. I don't see them popping off chunk plays, explosives on the ground. It's for all the marbles, so you're going to see some, but I think this game is just kept quiet for the most part. I think very similar to what we saw last year, South Dakota State team just overwhelmed a Montana team. I think that's what we have right here, regardless of the short price at plus 130. I like Montana State to win this thing 31-17. I feel like North Dakota State, and we've said this time and time again this year, is not a team who's built to play from behind. So I see a few late turnovers for Cam Miller, although he's been really clutch down the stretch. I think this Montana State team is way too much. They were in week zero, and they will be at 7 p.m.
I like the Bobcats in this one as well, but I don't see the game going the way that you do, Stone. I think this is going to be a close, low-scoring type affair, and I think that we see a game where Montana State is able to do just enough. North Dakota State will fight valiantly. That's a proud program. They don't lay down for nobody, but I think they'll come up just a little bit short. Give me the number one seed Montana State Bobcats to win the national championship over number two seed North Dakota State Bison. Bobcats win 27-24. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is produced by Mr. Sam Cittadini, co-hosted by Mr. Stone Lemanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.